you love movies and movie discussions, you've come to the right place. Who am I, you ask? I am the Wiz, and I'm here today with...
Kim Shackman.
Kim, how was your week off? How was the wedding? How did that go?
Oh, it was crazy. It was a wild wedding. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
People were like, the reception, they were like taking their shirts off. Like, not women, obviously, but it was pretty crazy.
Yeah,
and I'm not exaggerating there.
It's not crazy when guys do it because, like, whatever, like, who cares? Like,
yeah,
it's only crazy when women do it because I was like, oh, my God, what am I doing here? Like, that's,
well,
you know, am I in the right
even
place?
Even with the men, I was just like, there's, like, grandparents here. Like, what are you doing?
Oh, they'll be fine. Grandma's, like, 80 going over there. Like, oh, what a strapping young man. I'm getting so hot. They're fine.
It was a very wild time, but it was fun.
We are here to review the 2019 adaptation of Louisa May Alcott's Little Women, starring Saoirse Ronan, Emma Watson, Florence Pugh, Eliza Scanlon, Laura Dern, Timothy Chalamet, directed by Greta Gerwig. Kim, let me ask you something.
Okay.
How many adaptations do you think there are of Little Women for film specifically?
Just for film?
Yes.
If I had to guess, I'd probably say like 4.
There are 6.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
There were a bunch of them that were done in the 30s and 40s, I believe. From the 20s to the 40s were most of them. And then after that, the 94 adaptation. And then this one. There's 6. Some crazy people consider Mariah Carey's Glitter as 7, but I'm not touching that one with a 10-foot pole.
Wait, what?
Yeah, some people consider Glitter a Little Women adaptation, which I saw parts of Glitter.
It is not.
At best, A Star Is Born.
Yeah, no. Who are those people? They are crazy.
People I do not associate with.
Yeah, no. I've seen Glitter because I used to be a huge Mariah Carey fan.
Oh, no.
Not now, but I used to be. And that is so far from Little Women, it's not even funny.
It is such a bad movie. Oh, my God.
Yeah, when I was young, I was like, oh, my God, it's Mariah Carey. I love her so much. The movie's so good. And now that I'm older, I'm like, what the hell was I thinking? It's terrible.
Yeah. To be fair, I only read it, like, when I was doing the research for this movie, because I was really curious, like, how many adaptations of Little Women have there been?
Yeah.
There were some articles where they're saying, like, some people consider Glitter to be one. I'm like, why?
Crack? Like, what?
There's no. I think it's an ironic thing. I think it's more of a thing like they may have... Look... It has been so long since I've seen Glitter, and I've blocked it from memory from how terrible it is, but yeah. It just, I don't know where people get that from. I think it's a joke. I got caught in the middle of a joke that I wasn't realized was a joke.
Yeah, you took it seriously. You're like, how could you?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. All right, let's do it. Let's get into our 3 points review of Little Women, directed by Greta Gerwig. But before we do that, let's get into the plot. This adaptation of Little Women is centered around Jo March, played by Saoirse Ronan, and what she goes through with her relationship with her sisters and her friends while dealing with her ambitions and also living a good life, I would say.
As well as potential, like, romances.
Sure. Yes. Of course. I kind of wanted to. Yeah.
Sorry. Right. Were you easing into that?
Kind of. But you know what? That's fine. We'll go with it. Like, without. I don't want to go too deeply into it because
then you give it away.
Yeah. Get into spoilers. But yeah, this is based on Louisa May Alcott's novel from the 1800s. Mm-hmm. A beloved novel. You are
fabulous.
Yeah. You are more. I guess you know a lot. You've probably read it more than I have.
I haven't read the book in a long time either, but my mother used to read it to me so much as a kid that it's like burned in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
So like over and over again, we would always, because I loved it so much. It was such a good book. So yeah, I mean, this version, not as close to the book, but there's a decent amount of, you know, scenes where it's pretty close to the book too, but it's definitely different.
Right. So, Kim, why don't we get to your first point? What is your first point that you want to talk about with the film?
All right, so we write down our points. I'm not going to start with my first one because I just kind of threw them down. But so I'll start with my second one. So, you know, I have a couple of negative, I have two negative points and then one, I guess, positive point. So one of my negative points is I personally, they did a lot of cross timelining with this film where, you know, basically you're watching a portion of the movie, like a few scenes, and then it's almost like it goes back in time, and then it goes back, and then it goes back again. And like, I personally was not a fan of how they conducted them because it was a little bit too confusing for me. Like, I feel like they didn't delineate enough between the timelines to be able to pull that off smoothly, personally. But again, I think it's because I know the book so well, and I also know other adaptations of the film, and it's not written that way, so maybe I'm just not used to it, and right. That's why I don't like it. But I felt like it was just going too fast, like back and forth between timelines, and some people may find that like charming, and usually I'm okay with it, but for this film I did not care for that.
Okay.
I felt like it was too confusing. I felt like also too it was too quick. They wouldn't focus on, you know, one timeline long enough to really catch that it was happening at that time, and then they would switch back very quickly. So I didn't really appreciate that or like it. Okay. So that's my first point.
So we're going to disagree a lot on this.
Yes, we've already had like a pre-discussion about this review, and
yeah,
we're going to battle.
Yeah, it's going to be a death battle of the review of Little Women. I thought the cross-timeline thing was especially potent when it came to the drama of the film, because the way that they broke apart the film added to the drama of the film itself. I understand where you're coming from, where I think some might be confused, or they don't really like, or they really didn't delineate that much to the differences between the scenes. In the first time that they do the break apart, they do say like 7 years earlier.
Yes. Like, at the beginning of doing it, it's okay. It's just when they get deeper into the film.
That's the first time. What they do in those scenes is the lighting is different. The girls are dressed differently. They carry themselves a lot differently. I think the biggest tell, if you get a little confused, is how does Florence Pugh look? How does Amy look in this movie? Because when it's in the past, she looks very cherubed, very cute. Like, not cutesy, but still very childlike. Whereas in the present scenes, she's much more mature looking.
But believe it or not, I think they could have done an even better job with that. Because again, this is a very tough movie for me because I have seen so many other versions.
Right.
In the book and like... the other versions, they do delineate that way better. Like, you can tell, like, oh, wow, she's a little kid. And then as they get into it further, like, she is prim and proper. In this, you can tell. I personally don't think it's done as well as it could have been.
I disagree, especially in terms of Amy. Because from what I've read from the 94 version is that two different actresses play Amy in that movie. Am I correct on that?
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah. Now that you say that, I forgot. Yeah.
Right. So I think it's Kirsten Dunst.
I think it's like Kirsten Dunst as the kid.
Yes.
And then there's a woman. I forget her name.
Right. I can understand to a point why they would do that in that movie. But just having one actress play her as young and old becomes very striking towards the end when she becomes a mature woman. It really helps with the character growth. It's why I like Amy a lot in this movie, because of the way Florence Pugh actually portrayed her from the points of when she was a kid and how she was until when she became an adult. And it was incredibly believable. Whereas if you would have had two different actresses playing that same character, I don't think it would have hit as hard for me.
I must say though, like, I do agree, like the 94 version, it still hits pretty hard, like even with the two characters. But I do still agree that out of all the characters in this version, I do like who played Amy and I do like her character. Like, I think they did a pretty good job with it for what it was. Yeah, I don't know. It was a little hard. And I see what you're talking about with the scenes where the lighting is definitely different. Mm-hmm. The clothes, not that much. Like, I was trying to really take that in and see, like, okay, well, how is this differentiating? And, like, the lighting for sure. But, like, the way they carry themselves, kinda.
But they are girls in the flashback scenes. They act like children. They act like little children, but young girls.
Not as much as you would think they should.
I disagree.
Maybe it's the other way around. I think like when they're shown as adults, like they still have that like childish glow in them. Like I don't know. It just didn't hit for me.
But I think that works because of the closeness of these girls and how they are with each other and their love for one another. That can be comfortable in that sense. Like when they're separated, they are acting like women. Like Amy does, especially Joe. Joe is a much different character away from her family than she is with her family, and that's another striking thing that Saoirse Ronan does a great job in with this. But when they're together, yes, they act the same as they used to, but in different, more subtle ways. And I was deeply affected by that throughout this film. I do get what you're saying, though. I know some people find the cross-timeline cutting thing to be kind of useless in most movies. And I do agree. A lot of times when most movies do this, I often wonder to myself, what was the point of that? Like, why? Why do you do that?
Like, I get the point of it in this movie. I just don't love it. Because all the other adaptations I've seen, they didn't do that. And it worked just as well, if not better. So that's why, like, I'm like, okay, like, whatever, but it's fine. Like, I don't, like, hate it. I just don't really care for it. But, like, I think the most confusing part for me was, and I'm not going to, like, give it away, but when somebody in the film gets sick, those timelines, I'm like, wait, what? Like, what? When is this? Because that was kind of a little hard to delineate. Like, I mean, I still figured it out, but, like, let's say I had never read the book, never seen any other adaptation of the movie. Like, I feel like that'd be a little bit tricky.
Yeah, I guess I could see that. I hate to say it this way. I didn't have that much of a hard time with it. Hmm. I think dramatically it was incredibly effective. I think the way that they cross-pollinated everything and they broke apart the timelines was done in such a great fashion that it just enhanced the drama that was put throughout the film. And that character we're talking about gets sick multiple times throughout. When you learn about it, I think that when they announced the show that was happening, I think they did it in the most dramatically effective place. So I get what you're saying. You're saying because just in the way of understanding the plot, it's confusing. But I look at it in the way as to get the most impact from what's going on, I think this was brilliantly done. But I do understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Like, again, I'm having such a hard time with all this. I was telling Wiz, like...
Yeah.
And that kind of brings me to my next point, but I'll let you do yours. Okay. I'll let you do one of yours now.
So now that you switched up the points, I'm going to go ahead and switch mine up too. And since you had a problem with the timelines, and you said a specific word that that you were like, eh, but I'm going to make my second point as well. And that is, quite clearly, this movie is so damn charming. Oh my God. This movie is so damn charming. From the characters to the actors and the way that it is shot, I was in love with this movie. I was so charmed.
And but this, the problem for me is like, that's just Little Women.
Okay.
Like, I mean, I've never seen any of, like, the very old adaptations, but I feel like, regardless, like, it's just a charming story.
You can have a charming story, but if it's adapted poorly, it's not going to matter, because they're going to do something wrong with the characters or the actresses who are playing the characters, and it's going to come off a different way. But
I feel like it's so hard to do that with this story.
Oh, you can try.
You know what I mean?
Like, you could try. That is certainly possible.
I guess,
possible.
But like, really? Like, it's such a like charming story. Like, how can you really
No doubt. No. No doubt. No doubt. No doubt. No doubt at all. But we also have to consider the people who have not read the book. The thing is, the thing I got out of this movie, like, right away, from specific performances, scenes, and everything, things that maybe if you're not into it, you'd find corny, or you find kind of, this is kind of stupid.
Okay.
I bought in hook, line, and sinker. The one scene that in my mind, where if it were from any other film, I would think this was corny, was the ball at which Meg hurt her ankle, and Lori and Joe are dancing outside. In any other movie, I thought it would have been corny as hell, but I was like, oh my God, this is so fucking charming. I can't
see. I hated the way they did that, because the 94 version is so much better. Because it has them still doing like similar, like it's still the similar like storyline, but it's just not as cheesy. Like they're like jumping around, like in the 90, I don't want to spoil it, but in the 94 version, like they're actually pretending to like dance and like,
right,
like hold each other and dance, but not like jump up and down like friggin' hyenas. Like, but I just like,
oh, okay.
I just didn't like it. I was like, this is corny.
I loved it because it showed in a very striking way that not only do they belong there, but they're also outsiders. They are dancing that way because that this is how they express themselves.
Yes.
But they have to be confined in that society, even though they both cannot stand it. It was a very, it was not subtle, but it was a brilliant way to show in that scene where they connect in a way that didn't have to have a lot of verbose dialogue. They just connected in that way.
And same thing, and then I'm just dying for you to see that version.
Okay, I'll see it. I'll see it. Okay. Calm down.
Like, please just watch it.
Okay. And I want to...
No, but I get it.
Yes. Like, yeah. And I want to say this, okay? It is very hard for a movie that is centered around girls and around women and around ladyhood and growing up as a woman. And for a guy to be completely charmed by a movie like this. And I got to tell you, it really hit me hard in this movie. It hit hard. I was like,
wow. Well, some of the male characters in the film like could be really relatable to a lot of men.
Lori specifically related to me very much. Mainly, not just by the characteristics, but because I am that strikingly handsome.
Would you say you are that strikingly handsome?
I am, absolutely. You know it.
See, I don't find him attractive at all in that film. I seriously don't. And I'm not trying to make that up.
No, okay. That's fine. That's fine. He is...
Christian Bale is the number one Laurie.
I mean, like... Comparing handsomeness with Christian Bale and Timothée Chalamet, it's Bale. Like, maybe...
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. But, like, Chalamet is charming in his way. He definitely is.
I think the issue I had with him was when they got older, he still just looked too much like a little boy for me.
I disagree. Really? I think he got older, they did a good job with the makeup. And I think the thing with Chalamet in this movie that was really good is that he was able to show the adultness in Laurie as he got older and the maturity. Maybe you look at him and see the boyish face. And yeah, he does have kind of a boyish face.
I think but that's the problem for me.
But he does carry himself a lot better as a man as the movie goes forward.
Yeah, no, I do think he does. I just don't think it's enough for me.
Okay.
Because of the baby face. Yeah.
All right. Second point. Go right ahead.
Let's see. Meryl Streep. Okay. So I really liked her in this film, and I know she's like just, you know, a small little character and she doesn't have a very large role. Because again, I've seen, you know, the 94 version and Miss Aunt March in the 94 version was kind of like meh. Like she really wasn't that good in the film. Okay. And I like the way they wrote in Aunt March. And I can't remember in the 94 film if they presented Aunt March as like paying for, you know, a wedding and this and that. But I like how they did that because she did a really good, the writing in it gave a really good adaptation of or a really good view of like how it was for women back then, right? Mm-hmm. Like when it comes to finances and like, if you're not going to marry wealthy, like you're going to struggle, you know? And like, she really hit the hammer on that, like in the little pieces that she was in the film. And I like the way she portrayed herself because I think it's funny because she was like, you know, you have to marry to be wealthy, but she's like, you know, a single woman living in this friggin' mansion and she has all the money. But I think at one point she was married and then the guy died or something. I don't know. I just liked the way she carried herself in the movie and the way she really hit home on like, I dislike this, but I think, you know, this person needs to get married. I'm trying so hard not to spoil it, guys.
Right.
But like, you know, I just liked her character and I thought she did really well playing like an old mean woman.
Yeah. And the thing with Streep's performance in this movie as well is that it's not really showy.
Right.
That's a performance that it, with other actresses would probably go a little overboard. But this also shows how great Streep is in a lot of movies, especially if they are good movies.
Right.
That she knows the part, she knows how to play it, and then she just excels in that specific performance. One of my favorite performances of hers is in a film called Doubt, where she played a nun. And it's a really good movie. But she's particularly not a nice person in that movie. But she does it so well that, it doesn't come over. It doesn't seem overboard, but it still works in the subtleness of what she's doing in this movie, in that movie specifically. In this movie, it's the same thing. Yeah, she's not that likable.
Right.
But she does performance well enough where it's still... And another thing that makes this film so charming, even when the characters are not likable and when they're doing not great things, you tend to still like them. And I still liked Aunt March in this. You definitely understood where she was coming from, right. Even though you
she
don't
like...
She was
concerned in her own way and making sure that these women were financially stable.
Right, absolutely. My next point, since we're going to... We went to the performances. I think this film had stellar performances by not only... Well, I will agree with Streep's performance is good. Yep. But the best performances of the film were Chalamet, Pugh, and especially Saoirse Ronan. I love Saoirse Ronan as Jo in this movie. She embodied Jo in a way that I'm not so familiar with the book, so you may disagree. But her performance as Jo in this movie is some of the best I've seen in an actress playing a young woman growing into adulthood. This type of character is very hard to make likable in the way that she performed it, because she's not only ambitious, she's also a person that strives for that ambition in any way possible. Not like in a heartless way, but she knows what she wants and she will get it any way she can. And she's also stubborn and she's also strong-willed. Mm-hmm. And
which is Jo to a T.
Right.
Yeah.
But it is really hard to perform that role as a woman without seeming, I hate saying this,
bitchy.
Yes, without seeming bitchy.
Yeah.
And Saoirse Ronan does this performance incredibly well. And she doesn't seem to change those aspects of the character. I think another reason why it works so well is because you not only see her as that ambitious person, but that loving person with her sisters and with her family. But she's still that same person throughout. She threads that needle so damn well in this movie that it's even when she is doing something that I'm like, oh, that's a bad move, Jo. No, what are you doing, Jo? I still love the performance. And it's just because of how great Saoirse Ronan is. Now, I will state for the record right away, I love Saoirse Ronan as an actress.
Yes, you
I
were think telling me that.
She's an amazing actress.
You're partial to her, so
yes,
it's kind
of... There are some of the three favorite actors that I have right now that are working today. Viola Davis, Ana de Armas, Saoirse Ronan. Those are my three. Mm. And I love those actresses. I love Saoirse Ronan, so I might have a little bias on that.
Yes. I think she did a good job. Like, I don't think she was, like, for me, like, it wasn't over the moon, but it was... Mm-hmm. Again, like, if I had only seen this film, I would say she did a really good job. Like, and again, I think what I've noticed with her is, like, compared to the other actors and actresses in the film, she just flowed really well with the character, like you said. Like, it is her, basically. Like, I feel like she obviously had to act, but not... It just flowed really well. Like, her lines and stuff like that. Whereas I noticed some of the other actors, I felt like their lines were a little, like, I don't want to say, like, choppy. Like, it was just, like they were just saying them to say them. But with her, like, it was almost like she would talk, but they would resonate a little bit differently. I don't know. It was just weird.
Can I guess who you're talking about?
Yeah.
Emma Watson.
Yes. I did not like her character.
I'll get to the other two performances, but let's get to Emma Watson real quick. I don't think Emma Watson had a bad performance, but what did she have to work with here? Meg, in this movie... It seems like her two modes are being quiet and stoic or worrying about money. And that really doesn't give you much to do in
this
movie.
It doesn't.
Background, too, she is the super supportive one. She is the one that is like, oh, Jo, be
go
easy.
Go live your dreams.
Yes. And it's incredibly boring. Like, but because I think she is meant to be a side character, but if I recall correctly in the book, again, it's been such a long time, but if
it's
I recall,
different.
Yes, it's different.
It's different. There's more for her as a character to work with in the book and the other adaptations than this one. I feel like in this version, they kind of like cut some of her stuff a little bit, like her parts, maybe to make room for some others, which is fine. I just noticed that Ronan's performance, I don't know, for me too, it also stood out a little because the others didn't. And that was just what I got from it.
I think Ronan is the best, but man, Florence Pugh is really good as Amy.
I did enjoy. I was saying to myself as I was watching the film, the two performances that I personally liked the best were Streep's and Pugh's.
Yeah.
Like, those, she did a good job. Yeah.
Yeah, she was really good as Amy in this, both as a girl and as a woman. Like, that performance, if people come around this saying, no, I think hers is the best, I would completely understand. I wouldn't argue that point, because that is a very well-done performance where she was able to keep the character the way she is in both that, but have such stark differences. I thought that performance is really good. Yeah. And I guess something you'll disagree with is I really liked Timothy Chalamet in this. Mm. I really liked him as Laurie.
I think he did a really good job as a very, very young Laurie. But when you get into like the middle of the film to the end, I just didn't care for his performance. It's just my opinion.
I believed genuinely that he was friends and loved being around the girls. And that is very hard to do as a guy without seeming
sexual,
feminine.
All that too.
Yeah, and feminine. And
I forgot about that.
And yes, he is a guy that is very, he's very skinny. He's not the most masculine guy. But I did not feel like he was demasculated at all in this movie. And that's a very hard thing to do in that performance.
That's
and
true.
And again, he is very charming in this movie as well. Like, I really liked him in this. But my
I just like the character too, though, like overall. Like, Laurie's such a good character.
Yes. So, and since Bale is in the 94 version, I am really curious as how he
comes
out.
You're going to love it.
We'll see. We'll see.
You're going to love him.
Yeah, but my favorite performance is Ronan, by far. By far. Yeah.
And I think she did a good job. Like, I'm not, like, knocking her. I just...
I want to make one more point about Ronan. And it's a point that I don't like making about actresses, because when people like to express their love for an actress, they go hard on this. And I really do not like talking about this aspect, but I'm going to do it anyway. Ronan plays Joe in a way that not only captures the essence of the character and her ambition, but she also has a very distinct beauty to the character that makes you understand, despite the fact that she has these characteristics that are not flaws, but some people do find disconcerting, that a guy or a person would fall in love with. And I really hate to go by the looks, because it really, first off, to be in Hollywood, to be an actress, you have to be very attractive.
Right.
But she has a very distinct beauty in this movie that really makes me, like, buy right away. Like, yeah, she is this very dominant personality. She's a very, not overbearing, what's the word I'm going for? Just a very forceful personality that is very enchanting, and she plays it so well that it enhances the person and the beauty that she has.
Well, she has a lot of, like, passion. She's a passionate
person. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But I hate talking about looks unless it's really necessary, because unfortunately that's what a lot of actresses seem to get nowadays.
It's like the dumbest thing ever, though, but I couldn't get past the fact that they made her a blonde in this film. It's so stupid to say, because it shouldn't matter, but I don't know. I just always thought of Jo March as a brunette, because she is in every other aspect.
I don't remember what she was in the book, but a lot of people...
She was a brunette.
She was a brunette? Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of people, when they adapt something from a previous work, they want it to a T from that previous.
Right.
To me, it's always, who's the best actor you can get?
Well, yeah, no, definitely. I don't know why. I just was like, oh, she's blonde.
Because
I just noticed it. Like, I don't know why.
Right. Because let's be honest, okay? If we couldn't get Saoirse Ronan and we got, I don't know, Emma Watson as Joe, I don't think it would have worked. But she's a brunette. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know what point I was getting at with that, actually.
I don't either.
Yeah, all right, let's skip that. I'll take that out.
Carry on.
Third point. Go right ahead, Kim.
My final point is this adaptation or version didn't give me all the feels. I didn't cry. I will say I almost cried, and I almost cried at, like, the most random part where the 94 adaptation I didn't cry at. Mm-hmm. Is, and I don't want to spoil, but it's when, like, the father and the mother are reunited. I don't know why. Like, it was the one time in this version that I almost shed a tear.
All right, you can continue, but I just want to say one point that I didn't do on the performances.
Okay.
Bob Odenkirk as the father, really?
I was surprised. I was like, oh, he looks too young.
Saul Goodman? What?
Yeah, I was like, it's Saul. It was like my first thing. I'm like, better call Saul.
He stuck out like a sore thumb. I'm like, the actors are perfectly cast, and there's Saul Goodman. I'm like,
Like Laurie's grandfather, like, looks like he belongs in that time, whereas Saul Goodman does not. But like, I don't know what it was. Like, maybe it was because it was like the first time the Marmee in that film actually showed some sort of like promise. And maybe that's why I almost cried for her, but I don't know. And then, but in the 94 version, I bawled throughout like the whole movie.
Oh.
So like, I don't know. It just didn't give me all the feels. And like I mentioned in my first point, I don't know if it's because I was just so stuck on the timeline, like the cross timelines, that it bothered me. I don't know. Mm. But I didn't cry at all with this film. Whereas every single time I watch the 94 version, I bawl. Every time. So yeah, that's just something I noticed. It didn't hit home in the heartstrings for me as the other versions have, or even the book.
Mm.
So yeah,
I'm gonna turn in my man card. So here you go, Kim. Have it. Yeah. I teared up so many times in this damn movie.
Where like was the most?
Oh God.
I'm so curious.
Shit. Oh man,
it is a very like touching story.
Oh overall. My god, like, yeah, like there are times where I cry. It's like, oh my god, so sweet. And like, oh yeah. My god, it's so sad. It's like,
yeah
oh my god, those girls, ah, like there are,
they
oh,
love
man.
Each other.
Oh my god, yes. Okay, spoilers.
I know, it's hard not to.
Okay, so spoilers if you haven't seen it and you don't want to be spoiled. But when we learned that Beth died.
That's when you cried?
The hardest. This one? The one that really affected me. I cried almost throughout the entire film. Come on. Like, I cried when Laurie professes love. I cried when Amy professes love to Laurie. I cried when... like, look, I was a bitch. I was a blubbering bitch. I dried my eyes so many times. It was like, I should just stop because it's going to get wet anyway. What am I doing? Like, this movie did it for me.
So, I mean, it's obviously like, yeah, when Beth dies, that is the most.
Oh, God, it was.
For sure.
Oh, you know what? The actual scene that really hit me the hardest.
Mm-hmm.
Joe and Beth in the beach.
See, that's where I had an issue with the cross timelines.
Yeah?
I was like, wait, when is this? Like, is this like now? I think it's now, but I'm not 100% sure. Mm-hmm. And then I just got aggravated and I was like, I can't figure this out, so I can't be sad over it.
And then another one would be like Joe trying to work out her kinks by being a writer again. That really hit me effectively. There's a lot in this movie that really hit
As me. As a woman, believe it or not, like the 94 version, I cried when she cut her hair.
I thought that was really sweet. I thought
I did
like, oh,
too,
that
and that's why I cried, because I was like, she's doing everything she can for her family.
Yeah.
Like, and like when Amy's holding her afterwards and she's like, are you sad that father's like hurt or whatever? She's like, no, I'm sad that I cut my hair. And I'm like, as a woman, like I can relate to that. Like,
yeah,
my hair is like my one thing. And like, it was the same thing for her.
Yeah. Like they're girls, of course. And especially in that time, their looks matter a great deal. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
she's still looked great though.
She did. And obviously that is in the book, that part of the story too.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know. But anyways, what's your final point?
Final point. It's a beautiful tale about growing into adulthood. And I
have to agree with you on that.
Oh
one.
Man.
Yeah.
Like on all
It doesn't get any better than that. I'm sorry, mm-hmm. guys.
Absolutely. In this specific case, I think Amy's story is the most effective. But yes. Joe's is very good.
Joe's is second best.
Yes.
Sure.
But like this film did such a great job just showing not only how they were as girls and how close they were and how loving they were, but as they continue to do that, while growing. A lot of movies that do this type of story, where they go from their like kids to adults, what they do as adults is like call back to them as kids and be like, "Oh, remember the time when Jimmy did like," and it's like, "Okay, yes, I get it. You were friends, whatever. I get
right.
it." They don't show the maturation. They just show them being wistful about when they were young. And that's a very cheap and easy way to show nostalgia. In this movie, they not only show the closeness and the relationship they all had, but them maturing into adults and then still bonding with each other as adults as that goes on, which is very tough to get throughout this type of film to make it work effectively in this. And that probably is more to do with Louisa May Alcott and how she wrote the characters and how everything was done.
I was going to say, yeah.
But the film also effectively shows that in a beautiful way. I think, honestly, Amy's story, I think, shows us the best, but I think second best is probably Laurie for me.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it goes Amy, Joe, Laurie.
Yeah.
But again, because, like, I mean, Joe's the main character. How can you not see that, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, Laurie is a strong candidate in that, too, where, you know, going from a young little boy to, you know, and a man that needs to get his priorities straight in the world, you know? It's like, it's a well-done, told story of growing into adulthood as a male or a female.
Yeah. He was a man who did not want what he had and did not appreciate it, to a man who then realized, no, I got to do this and I should.
Like, I can have this and have family that I actually love too, you know? Yeah. Like,
okay, Kim, so why don't we talk about who we're going to recommend this for?
Okay, why don't you go first?
Okay, well, since I'm the host and stuff like that, I guess I'll go first. Okay. Yeah. I'm so glad one of us has control of this.
you go now.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, so I would recommend this for people if you want a film about sisterhood or family. It's really about sisterhood, but for some reason, if a guy would give this a chance, they would also see a strong movie about family dynamics and how a good family works and like that. So I would recommend that for that as well. Another one, if you prefer performance piece movies. Performance piece movies are movies that really are centered around an actor and actress delivering a stellar performance to carry the movie. I don't think that is specifically this film. However, the performances of Florence Pugh, Timothy Chalamet, and Saoirse Ronan are so damn good that if you just want to see great performances, definitely see this movie.
This is a good film for that. Yeah,
absolutely.
For
and
sure.
And then the third, you want films to be more grounded than performative. 90s films, when they did period piece movies, were very, very performative. A lot of, I would say, a lot of colorful, kind of grandiose feeling. I don't know how else to explain it, but it just felt more epic than it needed to be. This film goes for a more grounded feel. It goes for a more, I guess, earthy feel. Like, it feels like I'm actually watching people do things rather than perform something. And I think that is incredibly effective in this movie. So if you want
to, but again, I think with that too is like the story. Like, the story really helps with that.
Sure, sure, absolutely. Yeah. But I didn't find this film to be overly performative. I found it to be much more of a grounded film than anything else. For example, one of my favorite films from the 90s was Sense and Sensibility. That is a performative movie.
I still haven't seen that, and I really want to.
You should. Absolutely, you should. Yeah. That is a performative movie. I love the movie, but it is very performative. This film is much more grounded. It feels much more in tone, I would say. So if you want those types of films, that's who I'd recommend it for. Who would I not recommend it for? If you do not like cross-timeline films, or honestly,
like me.
if you are annoyed or confused by cross-timeline films, I gotta say, like, I thought it was incredibly effective for me. But I know people who just want an A to B to C story, or unless it's incredibly effective for them, they get annoyed by it. If you don't like it, that's what this film does, then skip it. And the other I do not recommend it for is if you do not like films set in old times. I mean,
which makes sense. Like, it is set in old times.
Yeah, like, it's like, if you don't like costume dramas, if you don't like films from like the 1800s and below, just avoid. But you're missing out, I think, in a really good movie.
I agree.
Kim, recommend it? All right. Recommend.
So I actually recommend this film for those who have never read the book or who have never seen any other adaptations of the film because you'll be looking at it from fresh eyes. So you won't have anything to compare it to. And I think you would thoroughly enjoy that because you don't have anything to compare it to. And it is just a really good film. Obviously, like kind of like we said the last review we did, like women, girls, moms, sisters, grandmas, like I think it's a little bit geared towards women, but not overall, because again, there's some really strong male performances in this too. But I mean, all of us as women, the majority of the women I know, like when we were kids, we had this book read to us from our mothers.
Right.
Like it just is what it is. And then similar to one of your recommendations is those who enjoy like heartfelt family movies, especially like I noticed this movie is viewed a lot around Christmas time. Because if you think about the setting of the film, it's in Concord, Massachusetts. There's the four seasons, there's snow, there's a lot of the happier times in the story happen around the holidays. And I just noticed it gets watched a lot from people I know around Christmas time. I do not recommend for bachelors, just people that really don't care about family movies or, you know, film in general.
I don't know who, I don't know, Kim. I'm kind of like the antithesis of that. I mean, I'm a bachelor.
Like, my husband would never watch this film.
Your husband's a bachelor?
No, but he would watch it with me, but he would have no, like, I had it on last night and he was on his phone the whole time. He had no interest. Like, it's just not,
he did not get teared up with Joe and her plight. I am no. Very, yeah.
He's like, what is this? He's like, do you enjoy it? I'm like, I like the other version better. Which brings me to my next not recommended for point is I think it will be very hard because I am a living, breathing example of those who really, really know the book as it stands and other versions of the film as it's told. Because this is one of the first adaptations where they do the cross timelines and the story is different. Whereas other adaptations, it's pretty much almost mimicking the book. So I had a very hard time with that. So I don't know if others would too, but I would assume they would have a hard time with it not being the same. So I wouldn't recommend it for those people. I mean, obviously you can see it if you want to check it out, but you may have a hard time liking it.
So do you recommend the 2019 version of Little Women?
Overall, yes, I do. I don't think it was a bad film. I think it did have some really good points and some strong performances. But again, I will say until the cows come home, I will always love the 94 version better.
Okay, cool. I highly recommend it. In fact, I will say this. This is probably one of my favorite first watches of the year.
Oh.
I love this movie so much. I really did. I will probably be, when it's on sale, if I can get it at a good price, I'm probably buying this movie and watching it.
Oh, wow.
I love this movie. It is so good. I really like Greta Gerwig as a director. I'm really enjoying
What else has she done?
Lady Bird.
Oh, yeah. You were telling me that. I did like Lady Bird. Yeah. That was a good movie.
And a certain movie we're watching next week.
Yay! Okay. I'm so excited for that.
All right. So, me and Kim both recommend Little Women. Kim a little bit less than I do. I adore the movie. Kim is like, yeah, it's good. Unless
it's
you're
not
Wiz.
Bad.
Yeah.
No, it's not bad. It's just, you know, again, it's tough if you've seen other adaptations.
Which is true. Like, if you,
it's true. Like Wiz and I were talking, like, it's true for any film. Like, if you see an adaptation, you love it, and then you see the next new one that comes out, it's hard.
Yeah.
Because you always have something to compare it to.
Right. Unless the adaptation is so bad.
Definitely, if it's, like, horrid, then that's
like,
a different story.
For example, I think we talked about this in the Psycho review. I saw the remake before I saw the original. And after the remake, I was like, this movie is supposed to be good? What? And then someone basically said, did you see the original? I'm like, no, see the original. And then I saw it, I was like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
Me and Kim both recommend Little Women. I would say definitely watch it if you haven't. And Kim is like, eh, it's fine. But I like the 94 version
just
better.
Just watch 94 and then tell me what you think.
Yeah.
That's my recommendation.
Yeah. So when you go away for the Christmas week, I think I'm going to go ahead and watch that.
I'm making him watch it.
Yeah. No, you can't make me do anything I don't want to do, Kim. But yeah, I think I will give it a shot then. So we both recommend Little Women from 2019. Now, if you want my full review on this movie, you can go to my website at imthewiz.com. You'll have my full written review right on the site, along with a link to the video that has this review that you've just listened to. All right, Kim, so next week our theme is toy films, or films based upon toys, or yes, have to deal with toys. On Tuesday, I'm reviewing Clue from 1985. I haven't seen that yet.
Me neither.
I am reviewing Thursday, Toy Story 4.
And, oh, such a good one.
Oh, is that good? Because I
liked it.
I liked 3, but I kind of felt like it should have ended in 3. So I'm a little curious as to how that goes.
I thought it was good.
Yeah. And then Saturday, what are we watching?
We're watching Barbie.
Yes, we're watching Barbie, the film starring Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling, directed by Greta Gerwig. I don't think we've done a 2 in a row of the same director, but yeah.
No, and I'm really excited about it because I haven't seen it yet. Like, a lot of my friends went to the theater to see it, and I have not.
I was curious about this when the trailer started coming out in the beginning of the year. And I also like Greta Gerwig a great deal with her films. So I am interested in seeing how this turns out.
Me too. Yeah. Like, especially going from Little Women to Barbie. Like, let's see how this goes.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's see how this turns
out.
Yeah,
why not?
Yeah. So, tune in next week where me and Kim review Barbie, starring Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling, directed by Greta Gerwig. I am The Wiz.
And I am Kim Shackman.
Talk to you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.